Thank you for joining us for another Comic Pop Visits. Today we are visiting with John Lyons, lead singer of the band Young Lyons. During our visit, we discuss Young Lyons' EP Crash Course. One of our discussion points is the lyrics of the song Girlfriends Got Me Down, which centers around the use of an explicit word. So this is your warning that if you are listening in a public place or are at work, you might want to wear headphones. Don't let this dissuade you from listening to the visit, because it was a great discussion on how lyrics can affect a song and make it have more emotion with an explicit term. I want to thank Carla McDonald of the Muse Box for coordinating this visit with John. Without her, we wouldn't have been able to let the lions loose. Hello and welcome to another Comic Pop Visits. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Chris.
Our opening drop was My Own Town from Young Lyons' EP entitled Crash Course. And today we are visiting with John Lyons, lead singer of the Young Lyons. So John, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now we'll actually turn it over to April because she's our music reviewer. So.
I am.
Great.
All right, so you guys are a fairly, you know, indie group from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes.
And Tulsa, just Oklahoma in general, would probably be a harder place to be a band from, you know, it's Midwest.
Absolutely.
You know, so is that, do you find that's more of a drawback?
Yes and no. I think that if you have the right backing behind you, like we're using Musebox, which is great company, so they're able to get our music out there nationally. The reason that I say yes would be because really there's a lot of scenes that we're 4 to 6 hour drives, 4 to 6 hour drive away from. You know, we can get to St. Louis, Missouri, we can get to Dallas, Texas, you know, within 4 to 6 hours. And Tulsa, you know, does have a good music scene, and Oklahoma City's picking up. It kind of goes up and down at times, but I think that there is a lot of talent out here. So it's a yes and no answer there.
All right, and you did mention Musebox so fans can listen to you, and that's actually how we contacted you, through to you. And with that, they gave us the link to your new EP, Crash Course, and we were wondering if, for friends listening in, is that available like a physical copy, or is it just online?
It's mainly digital, but if they contact us through our website, younglionsmusic.com, they can get physical copies, but it's not actually on the shelves anywhere right now.
All right.
Okay, so librarians that are listening for acquisitions for a music library, they can pick it up that way?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
And mentioning Musebox, we have to thank Carla McDonald for setting this up with us. So a big thank you.
Oh, she's great.
On the one aspect of the digitalization and the EP, right now it's
there are only five songs, and you have the two alternate versions.
Right.
And I'll jump into this. One of my favorite songs is the last one.
Okay.
Girlfriend's Got Me Down.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it because it's simplicity.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm older than April by far. but I like the simplicity of it. And
you mean the non-electric? You mean the acoustic?
I like the electric too, but it was nice to have the acoustic as well. But when you went and did the alternate version, did that grate on you a little bit? Because to me, when I listened to it, it almost made the song harder. Because right when it uses the actual phrasing, mm-hmm. and we are an explicit tag, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it said, I forgot. It has the fucking town.
Yeah.
Oh, it's redneck is what they say.
And it makes it more generalized, but then when it goes to redneck, does that limit your audience, or was that a choice you made or somebody forced upon you?
It wasn't forced upon me. I think that as far as the band members, you know, take away our producer. If you just talk to the band members when we were sitting down and when we wanted this song to be on the EP, we were thinking, well, you wrote it with, and I can say fucking, right? Is that right?
Yes, we are an explicit tag.
Okay, good. So I wrote it like that. I wrote, you know, fucking town. That's how I felt at the time when I wrote it. But I also think that it's at times and oftentimes, unfortunately, a redneck town, and I'm not trying to trash my town. It's just, you know.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know how to say it without just being honest. There's just, you know, some people out there that, especially when I was growing up, people that picked on me, they were the rednecks, you know, music fans and the rednecks, we were enemies, you know. I was called the freak, you know, a freak at my school, and they were the cowboys, you know, and, you know, tobacco and you know, kicking shit, cowboy boot type of thing, which whatever, you know. But that's you know, they would call me a freak and I would call them a redneck. That's just what we called each other. So yeah, I wrote it with fucking town, but then it was decided, well, if we're ever going, you know, if this is ever going to get on a radio or any podcast and there's any issue with that word fucking, we have this alternative. And it still made sense to me because I still think it was a redneck town. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, if I had to say, you know, there was a, I forgot who it was, but they said, what about saying stupid town? And I thought that was silly. Stupid town. No, if I'm going to replace fucking, I want it to be a word that really is describing how I feel about the town. Okay. And redneck was that's the first thing that popped up.
Well, just the sound was, you could tell it was a personal song.
Right.
And
yeah.
With fucking in it, it made it where people in Boston, people in LA, anybody could relate to that.
Yeah. And that's how I felt about the song. I thought this is a song that, you know, I actually wrote the lyrics a long time. I actually wrote the lyrics when I was, 12, 13. So it was, 10 to 11 years ago. So that's the thing with the lyrics on this song. It's something a 12-year-old can relate to in their first relationship. It's something that I think an 18, 19-year-old will feel. It could be a 40-year-old, 50-year-old man going through a divorce.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how you feel when your heart is being broke, you know. And it's funny, the original lyrics, it wasn't girlfriend got me down. It was my parents got me down. That's what the original lyrics were. But then it changed. By the time I was 16, 17, I changed it to, man, my girlfriend's got me down. It's not my parents anymore I'm dealing with. It's my girlfriend. It could be your wife's got me down. You know, I mean, it could be whatever. And everyone has that feeling, I think, at one point in time, just hating the town that they're in. And they feel like maybe that's the cause of their pain. You know what I mean? It's like, man, this is a shitty town. I want to get out of here.
Right.
I just think everyone can relate to that.
And I think April's planning on that being our very last drop. Am I correct? And we are actually going to play the original version. So,
yep.
Okay, great.
Whenever I like to support the original versions more than the censored versions, because sometimes you lose the meaning to the song. So
absolutely.
But I can appreciate why you did change it to Redneck. I can definitely understand.
And when you touched on writing this when you were younger, do you still have that? Has that carried through to your music now? Do you still like write your stuff just all you or other band members involved in writing the lyrics, or how do you do that part?
Well, this project, even though it's the EP took a year to make, we haven't got to the point to where the current members of the band have started writing new material. So when we started this project, Young Lions, it was all based on everything that I had written. And then I teamed up with Paul Cristiano, our bass player, and Brad Mitchell, our producer. And that's how this project started. And it was me taking all my material and working with the producer for the first time, and that's how this really started. And now we have a live, you know, the live members of the band presenting the EP. So we kind of worked in a different way. Instead of a band writing the songs together and then going into the studio, I took the songs that I had written from my previous band and said, you know, I want to start from scratch. And I worked a year on writing the EP and recording it with a producer for the first time and my bass player, Paul.
Okay.
So I don't really know what the future holds for writing. I mean, as far as Young Lions, right now, it's all based on my past lyrics and past guitar riffs and that sort of thing that inspired this EP. That's where it all came from. As far as future writing, I don't really know what's going to happen. I hope that it's... we've got a band now where everyone will be able to bring in, you know, ideas and lyrics, and we can all, you know, write together.
And I know you mentioned in your old band that was Ziff.
Yes.
And we listened to a few songs of those, and we enjoyed those as much as we enjoyed the Young Lions. So
thank you.
It definitely tell the departure. And do you want to explain your departure and where the style?
Yeah, I developed? Think that. Yeah, and I'm walking.
That's fine.
I don't know if you noticed that. The background's changing. Yeah, absolutely. Ziff, there were no rules, no production. It was, here are the songs, and it was straight how I originally wrote them without working on any arrangements, without working on, you know, electronic sounds. It was just real rough, meaning guitars, drums, and bass. No production value, which was great. For that, and it was like, you know, having the freedom. But I think I wanted to, in my life, I wanted to have that production, really slick sounding album, you know. And that's why I teamed up with the producer. It was a dream of mine to finally have someone who could maybe actually get the sound that I was hearing in my head out into the recording. That was something I could never accomplish. And I think with this EP, I think it's not necessarily they got the sound out, but they pointed me in a direction that I may have never even have thought before.
Okay.
And it just blew me away how it turned out. I'm very happy with it.
And you do mention that you have the different bands and you've been switching bandmates and everyone's going in and out. So have you guys finally settled down and kind of meshed together, or is that still kind of a bumpy area?
It's only bumpy. It hasn't been bumpy the last 4 months. Right now, basically the official members of Young Lions is myself, John Lyons, Paul Cristiano on bass, and James McGowan on drums. James is our stable drummer. He's basically a part of the band now. It's the guitar player, because I want our show to be very explosive energy-wise live. And okay. You know, Ziff was a trio. I was handling all the guitar duties. Well, now, even though I handled guitar on the EP, I wanted the live show. I didn't want to be strapped down. I'll pull out the guitar for a few songs here and there, but I like the freedom and being able to engage with the audience. And having a guitar, you're tied down. So we decided we wanted a guitar player live.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, absolutely. And we had the great chance to team up with Brian Gresh, who was our guitar player for the last 4 months. And Brian Gresh, in case you don't know, he was handpicked to play in the official Queen tribute band. It's called Queen Extravaganza. Roger Taylor and Brian May handpicked this guy. happens to live in Tulsa, and great, great humble guy. He started playing live with us the last 4 months, and it was amazing. But now he's out on tour with Queen.
So, oh, man.
Yeah.
Darn.
Yeah. But he'll actually be back in about 2 months. So he'll, once he's back, he'll start playing live with us again. And our producer, Brad Mitchell, is filling in on guitar while he's gone.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
On the brand that you're kind of talked about, a lot of people are saying this is electric pop. But then your website says it's alternative pop rock.
Right.
To me, it's more of the alternative, but it has the flavors of the electric pop. Can you describe how...
In your own words, what is your genre?
Right.
What is his genre? Well, it's interesting. You know, the genre question. Anytime you read genres of bands, it's one of those difficult things to really. I think it's always been difficult to answer. And the way that my bass player, I shouldn't say my bass player, the bass player of Young Lions put it, and he's a great guy, Paul. You know, best buds. He's really taught me a lot. And he said, you know, pop, it stands for popular. I mean, that's what pop's all about.
True.
So then you define what is popular. Can this music be something popular? And that comes and goes on its own. So I think that straight up, we're a pop rock band. I think that's what I would call us.
All right.
Pop rock.
Yeah. And here we're going to take a quick break and drop Away Tonight.
Great.
All right, and we just finished listening to Away Tonight, which is another one of the Young Lions songs off their new EP, Crash Course. If you're able to, be sure to visit their website. John mentioned it was younglionsmusic.com.
Yes.
And go there and find a link to either their digital, and I assume it's probably on iTunes as well.
Yes.
So they can actually download from iTunes. So.
All right, and when we first heard about you guys, you know, we went on YouTube, you know, watched some videos, and we saw that you had some lyric videos.
Yeah.
For a couple of them, were you guys actually planning on making, you know, official music videos for
any
songs?
Yeah, we're actually working on that right now. And I thought that it would be easy. You know, I've never done a music video.
Yeah.
But just coming up, you know, I had this little funny idea, which in case we use it, I don't want to say what it is. But I had this idea. But one idea that you think in your head is going to fill up a full video, I mean, that's just 20 seconds on film, you know what I mean? So it's this difficult process that I'm learning about, and it's been fun learning about it, but it's obviously my idea of when it would come out is not going to happen, just because we're still on the drawing table. I know that we're going to plan on filming right when Brian, our guitar player, returns from his short tour. Because obviously he'll need to be in the video. So so filming for the music video should start in September, the middle of September.
Okay. Right. You'll have to keep us apprised, and when it comes out, we can put it up on the website for you guys as
well.
Oh,
that'd be great.
So.
And, well, when I was still on YouTube, I listened to your song Kill for the first time.
Yeah.
And me and Dad, we love the song. It's a great song. And we were just kind of wondering why Kill with it. Why the title?
Why the title Kill?
when there's not, the word's not even in the song.
right. I think it's because, and people look at it differently, and I think that's why I like the title. I like the title because people will either say, wow, like was your heart so broken you're thinking of killing this girl? My gosh, that's dark. You know what I mean?
True.
And then, yeah, I mean, people, and I thought that was kind of cool, and, you know, but really, when I thought of the title of the song when I wrote it, really it came from the thought of me being killed. Like, my heart, I mean, literally, if you're, you know, let's think about it. Your heart is broken. I mean, I thought flatline, you know, like, that's what would happen. Like, you're dead. And you've been killed. Like, that's what I think with that song. Your heart's so broken, you've been killed. I mean, you've literally just been killed. So that's where it came from. And then I thought, well, that's dark, but that's going to get people talking because it is dark.
And I believe, isn't that the other one that had the alternate version?
Yes.
If I remember right. And I can understand why, again, because if you're going to release it on the radio, you want a little bit shorter play.
Right.
But to me, what I loved about the song, and maybe I'm just kind of weird this way, but I love the three progressions.
Oh, that's, yeah, I absolutely love it.
That middle part, to me, and April says,
I said it sounded like the Oompa Loompas. Like,
that's awesome.
Because, like, when they were singing, you know, they'd start out very slow and it'd sound kind of creepy if you think about it, and just like build up to something big. And that's why I kind of
the original ones
it.
Or the new ones?
More the new ones, but kind of the old ones.
I haven't seen the new ones. But I'll tell you, the original ones, as far as Oompa Loompas go, my old band, Ziff, there's a big Halloween show every year called Freaker's Ball at the legendary Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa. And we played, and we dressed up as Oompa Loompas. Had the Oompa Loompa theme song playing while we walked on stage and, you know, picked up our instruments. It was great. And so I got to rock out at Kane's as an Oompa Loompa.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I picture that where I just pictured a dreamscape type atmosphere for me. So I like that aspect of it. And then when it comes back in with a hard, more of a hard anthem almost.
I really like that.
I like the three progressions. And
well, thank you.
I wish that radio stations would take the time to all that. But I know that because, like Chris mentioned earlier before we got on, you're looking for everything to be fast and get to the next one. And
right.
Fast is today's pace anymore, I guess.
Yeah. So,
and then there was one other one. What was it, April?
What are you describing, Dad?
Oh, God. I just went completely blank. I apologize.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, do you have another question while I try to rethink of mine?
Wow. Well, earlier, and the first part of the of this, whatever it's called. I can't talk at all. Whatever. Earlier you mentioned part of your younger childhood in school was being bullied for being different. So were you actually in the vocal or band area? Like, were you actually involved in them with the class and everything?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I was in marching band. I was actually in choir, too. For my whole high school career. So, I played trumpet, and then I played tuba.
What a drastic change.
That's a step up.
Yeah, treble to bass clef, which ended up helping me musically, especially reading music. I mean, I can read treble and bass clef now, so it's great.
That's good. Did you think of it?
Yes, I did. Who's the 80s fan, the hair band fan? Because on my own town, that's all I think about is a hair band.
Yeah.
Who's the fan?
I think there's a little bit of it in all of us. I will say that, Brad Micho, our producer, one of his favorite bands, it wouldn't really be an 80s hair band, but he loves Tears for Fears. Obviously, they're from the 80s. Okay. But Brian Gresh, our guitar player, huge Van Halen fan. It's all over, you know? So
you could definitely feel that vibe coming through on that song. I enjoyed it. It was good. Sometimes it's neat to have some of the old callbacks.
Absolutely.
But not a literal callback, which some of the... I kind of don't like it when they go and grab lyrics from a song or tunes, but you can do the same thing by just having the feel.
Exactly.
So absolutely. I appreciate that with what you did with that song.
Well, cool, man. Thanks.
All right, and are we wrapping it up here?
We're going as well. We told John about 30 schedule. Minutes, so I don't know what his schedule's like.
I don't even know. I don't have an internal clock, sorry. So 5 minutes could feel like an hour, vice versa. I don't know.
Whose idea was it to weave the electronic pop sound within the songs? Because some of them, it's in the bridge.
Right.
Some of it is, like, the very first song is right at the very beginning. But then some of it's interweaved with the rest of the instruments, almost like it's more mixed and you can't really tell unless you really listen for it. Whose idea was it to do those different the different ways you did that? Whose idea was that?
I would really say it was our producer, Brad Mitchell, who handled most of like the synthesizer sounds and, you know, electronic element. You know, I heard a lot of it in my head though, you know, so, you know, like Kill, that, you know, that riff at that beginning, it sounds real electronic. You know, and that I had that thought in my mind the whole time. So, but I think it's more Brad. I mean, I think it's his history with the bands that he's worked with and his production. But I think that when Paul and I really started working on these songs in the studio, we knew that was the direction we wanted to take, to add that electronic type element to our songs. And I was heavily listening to M83 at the time. I don't know if you guys are familiar with M83. I actually went and saw them during the recording, and blew me away. I just love that band. So
is the electronic stuff added after after recording the instrumentals, or is it do you actually have someone playing them
While recording,
it's added after we lay down the main instruments and vocals in the studio, and then live we don't have a keyboard player, so we're playing to a loop and a click track. Of course, the click track only we hear on stage, so that electronic element is being looped on stage while we're playing, you know, guitar, bass, and drums and vocals. Right. So
I like how everything is sort of layered in there to where you start simple, and then as it's recorded or actually produced, it gets really complicated and it all sounds very fluid. And
yeah, it gets layered and mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
One part though that me and Dad noticed very off the bat was when we got the EP, we started listening to it on my own town.
Uh-huh.
It starts off with that cool techno thing.
Yeah.
Going and then just stops.
Right.
And it's just hard, like, instrumentals, and we're like, wakes you up.
right. I thought that was cool. That's actually a really old Casio keyboard, just a, you know, one of those $100 Casio keyboards. And Brad, our producer, has used it on so many recordings, and I was happy to have it on this. And it's like a heart kind of beating at the beginning, right? And then it kind of stops. And then in your face, you know. So I think that's the idea that we had. So that's cool.
All right. Yeah.
With all the young artists out there, and I'm talking about high schoolers, but even some of the older ones, even my age, that are still trying to go strong.
Yeah.
You've been through a couple of different bands.
Yeah.
What's the advice of, you know, this is the road, this is what it's going to be like? What would you say to them to prepare them for what they would be facing?
Well, I don't know if it's a simple answer because I think that the road is being – I don't think anyone really can define that road right now because it's for a while now. Basically, since Napster, we don't really know what's happening. I mean, we know with sales what's going on. I tend to think that the music business has turned more into the thought of maybe, you know, teachers. People have the thought teachers really should get paid more for what they do.
Right.
I think – musicians, they used obviously got paid a lot more than that they do now, and so there's not a lot of opportunity like there used to be. But it also takes out the people that maybe weren't doing it for the right reasons. People, you're seeing more, and it's unfortunate, but you're seeing more starving artists, I guess you would say, which really makes a true artist, right?
True.
But there's just so many pros and cons. I don't know what advice I would give because, unfortunately, the advice that I was given growing up pursuing this, and I started when I was in middle school, playing live shows, the advice I was given was don't do it, don't do it, don't pursue it. And I never stopped. I'm married. You know what people were telling me when I got married?
You're done for.
You got to stop playing music. You're married. What's that about? And you know what I said to myself at that time? I said, are you crazy? Why would I want to be an unhappy husband or an unhappy father? I have a 3-year-old boy. I love him to death. I want him to see me pursue this. I want him to be in love with my music. I want him to do this. I would love that. I'm not going to push him to do it, but I would love it if one day he picked up the guitar and did it. And it's not about money anymore. That's the thing. Yeah, that was a great benefit, obviously, and it helps. But it's about the art. And like I said, remember there's pros and cons. Here's what I think the biggest con of this, of what happened with the music business, okay? Or the elimination of the business. It's unfortunate because back in the day, like the Beatles' White Album, you know, I don't know how much that cost to make, but a lot of albums took a lot of money and time to make, and they were able to spend a long time and a lot of money to make it. What is there going to be another album like that? Because if there's no more money in the game and the record labels aren't spending that kind of cash to make these great albums that just blew us away and maybe changed, made a movement or changed a decade or whatever, defined a generation. Maybe Nirvana, Nevermind, okay, as an example. Is there going to be another album like that? Can there be? Because maybe the young Kurt Cobain, we'll use Kurt Cobain as an example. Maybe the young Kurt Cobain won't want to even do it. Maybe he'll say, man, there's no money. I'm starving. I'm not going to write Nevermind. I'm never going to get to that point in my life because I can't pursue this. There's no money in it. You see what I mean?
Right.
And that scares me. That makes me sad because there's a song that we have not heard that may never get written now. It may never get written. That should have been written. And I don't know what the answer is to solve that, but it obviously needs to happen because I don't want that to happen, that song to never be written.
Well, the digital divide has helped a little bit of some bands being able to reach out to areas that they couldn't get to before. Like,
right, right.
For you, people can listen to you all over the world because
right,
it's digitally.
Right.
But is there, and I haven't been on there that much, but I know about the Kickstarter program. Is that an avenue where some of the bands like your size can go there after they've been established for a while and say, you know, this is what we plan on doing, see who's going to support it, and then have the funds that way?
Absolutely.
So hopefully, with some ingenuity and some creative imaginings, they might be able to work it through.
Right, right.
And then one of the things, I got to mention this album tended to be a little bit down.
Yeah.
If I could say that.
Yeah.
Are we going to see some songs that rise a little bit? They're a little bit more happier?
Oh, absolutely. Because remember, these were songs that were written in a part of my life, you know, the lyrics especially. You know, they're old. They're old lyrics that I picked from.
Okay.
So the future is very happy. I'm very optimistic because of this project, because of the success I've been having, and the people telling me, man, I really like this EP. I can't wait to hear what you guys have coming. And just that makes me optimistic, and I'm just a much happier person. So I think that my lyrics are going to be poppy to match the poppy sound.
Well, I know April mentioned in one of our podcasts that you need to have those good sad songs too.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody has that moment, you know, in their life where they just need to listen to a sad song.
Right,
you know,
right.
But there's also times where, you know, maybe not as heavy, just having fun, jumping around, kind of.
Well, I kind of think the next EP will give some answers to maybe this depression that maybe we'll get from the Crash Course EP. So maybe there'll be a sequel that answers it, maybe it'll be called A+, because, you know, on the test from your Crash Course, you know.
Well, the instrumentalists, though, even though their songs, the lyric-wise, are down, the instrumentals keep it up.
Very upbeat.
Right.
So that, you know, that's kind of cool in itself. But
yeah, absolutely.
I was just curious because I was like, you know, okay, that's that. Oh, okay, this one's not a up,
right,
you know, happy-go-lucky one. So I'm glad to hear you're going to be mixing it up. So
yeah.
And if you would, I will let you go because I know we're taking personal time out of your evening. Yeah. But what we've been doing, we've been asking all of our guests to do bumpers for us, and I don't know if you'd be willing to do that for us or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All we need is just, this is John Lyons of Young Lyons, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Okay.
And that would be it.
Okay.
So, and we can do it in 3, 2, and...
This is John Lyons from Young Lyons, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library? You want me to redo
are
that?
Are we?
Yeah, so are we Comic Pop Library?
Is that what I say, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Comic Pop Library. Okay.
Okay.
This is John Lyons from Young Lyons. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Very right. good.
Very cool. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, I didn't want to say this during the, but I had an experience that, like you guys were talking about, as far as the frustration in the music industry.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I was a music performance major. And we got the opportunity, I was in choir, to sing with Kenny Rogers when he was in Salina,
oh,
Kansas.
Cool. Yeah.
And his entire band was a drummer and two keyboardists.
Wow.
And so, I went, is acoustic going away? And I play saxophone.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, is acoustic going away? And so I changed my major to education, and...
Yeah,
that was it. I didn't
well,
do so
I mean,
well.
Perhaps,
at that.
Now he's
you know
sitting
what?
Here.
Now
I think that's probably going to happen, because think about it. They can hire a saxophone player to play the sax part, or they could just loop it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or a keyboard player can play it, and they can pay the keyboard player a lot less than the. But you, man, to actually have the saxophone player is way better, because you get the emotion. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
definitely.
Yeah, so it's that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah.
I don't think keyboard sounds even sound like the actual
no.
instrument
I mean,
either. Like you put them beside each other, it's just like no.
Yeah. Well, and what's happening? What in Japan? I assume. I think it's Japan, where the pop artist is not even a real person.
Yeah.
No. It's like a hologram.
I don't like that at all.
Vocaloid.
That's crazy. So
it's amazing
anyway.
Where technology is headed, but it's kind of like that old fear of it's replacing us.
Right.
Which
right. Yeah.
I don't. And for music, like you said, you can't do that. You need the emotions.
Exactly.
The sounds that people are going
through. But you have to avoid the starving artist thing,
no.
too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if Kenny Rogers came to Kansas to a community of 45,000, so he's not going to sell very many tickets.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to make any money if he doesn't reduce how many people he has to pay.
Yeah.
That's true.
And maybe it's who's selling the tickets, too. It's that old Pearl Jam versus Ticketmaster thing. I mean, I don't know how much money they're making. But,
true.
I mean, you heard Louis C.K., he was selling his own tickets, remember? And that was a big deal. He said, why do I even need this company to sell my tickets? I'll sell them myself.
Right.
And he saved – the tickets were cheap. People could afford them. And but then again, you're hurting another industry.
Yeah.
So you're hurting those people who worked for Ticketmaster or whoever.
It's all connected,
you know?
Isn't it?
Yeah. So.
Well, I hate to disappoint Chris, but this will be part of the interview.
Oh, okay.
It's too interesting to drop. It's a good discussion.
Yeah.
If you have good discussions, you want to keep those. So.
Yeah.
And we're not hating on anybody. We're just discussing.
Right.
There we go.
Fact is fact.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to leave out with Girlfriend's Got Me Down from Young Lyons. And I want to say to you, John, thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
That's good.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right.
It's nice meeting you all. Thanks.
Enjoy your evening.
All right.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You'd always be here, but now I
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.